So turn back to Psalm 51 with me, and I'm going to put that, what we just learned, as an overlay over this psalm. And we're going to be looking at the successive verses of it, but think of this concept. As we turn to Psalm 51, we're entering a portion of Scripture that was inspired. So it is profitable for doctrine. God is going to teach us what's right about David's response to his sin. That's the first thing we see in Psalm 51. The doctrine of what God said David did right when he sinned. His response to God's correction was right. Secondly, for reproof, God points out what's wrong in David's life that led to his sin. And that's going to be in the 51st Psalm. There's some reproof in there. Things that David did he shouldn't have done. And things that, by wise insight, we also should learn we shouldn't do. And that's what the reproof secondarily comes to us. For correction, God explained to us how to get right with him using David as an example. In fact, that's why I said this is a treasure-laden chapter. David shows us so many ways of coming back to God. In fact, we spent a whole morning looking at coming back to God. And this is all about God explaining how for us to get right with him, and he uses David as an example. Next, the fourth 2 Timothy 3 example is it's for instruction in righteousness. The 51st Psalm is God directing us how to stay right with him using a real living and breathing example, David. David makes some resolves in this 51st Psalm. David makes some requests of God. He has some prayer requests. He has some insights that will help us learn, like he did, to stay right with God. And each believer also is made complete. And the 51st Psalm is God reminding us that he's more than enough for all we'll need as we see how David endures the painful consequences. Now tonight, we're going to look at David being abused. That's a real buzzword nowadays. People really use abused a lot. David was abused. He was physically abused. He was verbally abused. He was incredibly driven out of town. In fact, it's one of the saddest moments in the Bible. David walks out of Jerusalem with his head down, with a cloth over his head, his tears falling to the ground, and it says you could hear him loudly weeping. It's one of the most touching moments in David's life. While he's doing that, there's a man standing just above him on the hillside, kicking dirt at him, throwing rocks at him, and hurling curses at him. And what does David do? David says, "Don't bother him. Maybe God sent him to do that." It's learning from David's life how to handle painful situations. And that's what this being complete, reminding us God's all we need to even handle things like that, and we'll be thoroughly equipped. God teaches us how we can serve him like David before he failed, after he failed, for the rest of our lives. David is such an encouragement. Well, Psalm 51, what we've already seen, the first four verses, David said, "I saw that all sin is against God." And we spent a long time on that. That's the starting place. The starting place of salvation is saying, "Against you I've sinned." And the starting place of continuing our lives spiritually is when we sin, we don't say it's merely a failure, it's merely a weakness. We say, "All sin is against you." And we learn to deal with it the way God wants us to deal with it. That's what David's life teaches us in the first four verses. Secondly, David not only saw that all sin was against God, he took the blame for his own sin. Verses 5 through 9. Now that's what our culture's gotten good at. We blame our sin on someone else. We blame our sin on, you know, stress at work. We blame our sin on the way I was raised. We blame our sin on the car broke down. We blame our sin on that, you know, I'm not. And we find some person or some thing that we can blame it on. David says, "No, I took the blame for my sin and repented." You see, you can't repent of something if you don't take the blame for it. That's why our mental health community is having such a difficulty with so many people. The people cannot get over things because they never take the responsibility for them. And so they have to be constantly dealt with, and that dealing causes increasing anxiety and increasing guilt and increasing decimation of their mental and emotional and physical health. But they never come to the point that David did. He says, starting in verse 5, I am taking the blame for my sin, as we saw last time in verse 7. He very clearly says, I'm taking the blame for it, and I will repent for my sin against you. Now, it doesn't mean you have to repent and confess everybody else's sin. He isn't saying to just go around and take the blame for everything. He's saying, I know what I did, and I'm taking the blame for it, and I'm going to repent of it. And that's where we pick up. Let's go there right now, starting with the next verse, verse 8. We've already studied the first 7 verses, but as we start with verse 8, watch David as he continues to take the blame for his sin, and as he repents and turns successively from each thing he brings up, starting in verse 8. He says, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. David says, now that I've repented, I need your joyfulness. He says, I was just trying to keep myself afloat all these months, going into a year. He was just going through the motions. He was smiling when he went to the temple. He was smiling when he saw people coming, but there was war in his heart, as the Psalms say. The Psalms say his words were smooth as butter, but war was in his heart. That was David. And David says, no. Make me, verse 8, hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. As sinners, we lose our joy. David said, I lost my song. I don't hear your joyful song anymore. I want you to make me. It's just like what we saw with Joseph, another abused man, abused by his dad, his brothers, his employer's wife, you know, Joseph, the whole story in Genesis. Do you remember what he came to in Genesis 41? God made me forget. God made me fruitful. David says, God will make me hear joy and gladness. There's times in life where there is nothing externally that can bring us any joy or gladness. It's like everything is no good. And we have to say, God, you and you alone can make me again have your joy and gladness. It's acknowledging the source, and that's the first thing he does. In his taking the blame for his sin and repenting, he says, God, you're going to have to be the one that brings back my joy. Look at verse 9. When David repented, he longed for fellowship with God. He said, hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Do you remember we saw earlier, blot out means to erase the record of? He repeats that idea because he was having trouble remembering. When God forgives, he forgets. Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he has removed our sins from us. They're buried in the depths of the deepest sea. When God forgives, he forgets. When we remember, we're plagued by them, and God doesn't remember them. Our sins and iniquities, he remembers no more. And so what David says is, hide your face from my sins, blot out my iniquities. What he's saying is, assure me of that fellowship. I feel that my fellowship with you is ruined. And he says, I don't want to feel that way. And that's our human response when we sin. So often we think, I've ruined it with God. And God says, you haven't ruined it with me. I've forgiven you. Do you remember when the prodigal son came to himself? He was in the far country feeding the pigs, probably in the Decapolis region where the 7 tribes of the Canaanites had moved, and he was there, and it says while he was feeding the pigs and eating the pig food, he came to himself, and he repented and turned from his sin, came back to his father. Do you remember his father was looking for him and ran to him? And Jesus said, that's the way God deals with us. The father was watching and longing for his return. David says, oh, I long for your fellowship. In Eden, Adam and Eve hid from God. Sin separated and blinded them to God's presence. So David says, instead of the sin blinding and separating me, I want you to restore that fellowship I had. What he's saying is, God, I love you more than my sin. What you see from Psalm 51 onward is David never again allows sin to make him consciously ruin his fellowship with God. Now, he still sins. He's human. All of us will sin to our dying day. But it was much diminished. It's kind of like We were having marshmallows the other night, and I love big fires, and we had our big, you know, the protected fireplace, but I let it get a little big, and they had to get the hose out, you know, and cut that marshmallow fire down a little bit. And what we see is David's repentance cut down. It was so genuine that lust never flamed up in his life again. God hosed him, and he wanted God more than any sin.